I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday. It's the John and Wayne Show, post-draft edition. And if you were sleeping like me, Wayne was not. But if you were sleeping like me, you woke up to wonderful news. And Wayne's already got a show done. Like, this dude is on it, on it, on it. George Kittle signs a 4-year extension. Wayne, how you doing, man?
Great. As Tony the Tigers. That was before I had my Frosted Flakes, too, by the way. But I'm great, man. This is great news for the 49ers. He's a pillar. We talked about players and the pillars on this roster. And I get it. People are going to be mad because we said we're going to get younger and we weren't going to sign these deals. Yeah, to certain people. But this is a tight end. He serves several roles on this team, and he's a pillar. He's a tight end. He's an extension of the offensive line. He's a receiver. So you got a receiver, offensive lineman, and a tight end all built into one player, and he's doing it at an elite level, all pro level. So you have to spend money somewhere, and I think getting into that tight end, us not addressing the tight end made it super clear that we were going to extend George Kittle. Like,
yeah, if you would have got somebody else, then it would have been like, ah. But no, they didn't. Admit, if you're a 49ers fan and you're not excited about this, go look in the mirror and give yourself a freaking a prep-up speech because you need it. We love you. And George Kittle being with the 49ers for the rest of his career is the best possible news you could have today. Like, is there anybody that encompasses what it means to be a 49er more than George Kittle? He was one of the first draft picks. He was part of the Shanahan Lynch first inaugural draft, and you could argue maybe one of the only good picks of that draft. But you know, I future Hall of Famer. He's going to be a part of the 10-year 49ers program. He signed through year 13 with the 49ers now. So him and Kyle Juszczyk both scheduled to become the next decade-long 49ers next year. I don't know what's not to like because, man, George Kittle is just
He's going to be the second all-time leading receiver for the 49ers of all time.
He's like after this year.
1,192 yards. I just put out the tweet like maybe an hour before the show. 1,192 yards. He will surpass the great Terrell Owens.
And I love Terrell Owens, but George Kittle.
We all love Terrell Owens. But yeah.
Everybody wants, like, look, and I always get into it because, like, you look at the stats and a lot of people love Terrell Owens. I ain't trying to dig on that at all, but, like, Terrell Owens is not what I think of whenever I think of what does it mean to be a 49er. He ain't it. He's great, and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame and one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, top four for sure. But, like, I mean, he was chased off every team, forced trade, talked trash on your quarterback, like, caused so much dissension. Like, that is – George Kittle ain't that. No. Like, George Kittle is the ultimate, hype guy.
Well, look, George Kittle, you're right. He's definitely not that, but George Kittle – is passive aggressive. He will say stuff slick.
He's gotten me before.
He blocked me before, but my point is slick's the stuff, and it's not even slick. I mean, George Kittle will be one of my all-time favorite players of all time just because he said in a national and a 49ers presser that we're outside zone team. And why don't we run the ball to the outside? Like that's the clip of the century for me. Like, that's really if you tell me how to crap on your coach without crapping on the coach.
Yeah.
And then just extended him. I love it.
And like, that's the thing. Like, I consider him and Fred Warner to be the two leaders of this franchise.
Staples.
Like, those are the two guys that have been through it all. Like, yeah, you could talk about Trent, you could talk about Juice, you could talk about CMC, you could talk about Perk, but like the two staples, in my opinion, are Kittle and Warner.
Yeah.
And what they say carries a lot of weight, lot of weight. And so I don't mind a little bit of that, but like, he is team first always.
Always.
And so like, I'm cool with that. Now, he signed a 4-year, $76.4 million deal, comes out to $19.1 million per year. Do you know why that .1 is so important, Wayne?
Did it beat out the $19 million per year?
Trey McBride had $19 million per year.
That's George Kittle extra $100,000, bro.
.1. Yeah, you got to
If my math is mathing, that's extra $100K. That's his taxes.
I ain't mad on that.
Right. Now, somebody was like, well, he's still going to make less after taxes. And I was like, I don't know California taxes. So if that's the truth, cool. But technically, yeah, because he has to pay the taxes in the state in which he resides and plays in and where he lives.
NFL charges you where the game is played. Your game checks are you have to pay for like literally 10 different states every year. But anyway,
good accountants, bro.
It's a whole mess. But he's now the highest paid tight end. And what's crazy is, like, I looked up, like, it's only $40 million guaranteed, $35 million guaranteed at signing. Then another $5 million comes into play in 2027.
Good.
And, man, if you look at Kittle's entire yearly earnings, like his entire career earnings, he's only made 63. I say only. But he's made $63 million his entire career up to this point through 9 years. Mm-hmm. Now – he has the chance to double that. And, you know, being a fifth round pick and, you know, those first 4 years only bringing in about $2 million, like, this is the new way that the NFL wants to reward players that can play for a long time.
Yeah.
And cash in on that third gigantic contract. I'm happy for him, man. I'll be getting every penny.
Kudos for Kittle. And it's good to see him back in the voluntary OTA camp, whatever you want to call it. It's good to see him around. You know, he came in on day two of the draft, and I knew they were working out a deal that day. Like, he didn't show up day one of the voluntary camp. Day two of the draft, he's in the camp. Oh, yeah, the story breaks. George Kittle's here. Cool. I'm not thinking about George Kittle because I'm worried about the draft. And lo and behold, behind the scenes, while they were drafting, they were extending George Kittle. So I expect Fred Warner to be next, and I expect Brock Purdy to close this out and break the internet. Like, that's what I'm expecting.
That's what we want. Right here, David Wright, appreciate the super chat. Wayne, can you take care of this one?
David Wright, what's going on? I see the pound sign up there, so thank you so much. All we need now is Brock to sign, and the offseason has been actually not bad for once. Hashtag CC. Thanks for all the amazing content, guys. Goats. I appreciate you. Your goat emoji looks better than my goat emoji. I got to upgrade my emojis.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I think that's a thing. I do.
Is it really?
I think so. I think you could download like emoji app or something, and then they'll give you like these crazy looking dope ones. I don't know. I'm making stuff up, but
I love it. I
see
love
the difference.
It. So, okay. Quick question. In your opinion, do you think George Kittle plays out the entire 4-year contract? That would bring him up to, I think it's 37, 38 year old season, basically where Travis Kelce is now.
Yeah. But you can't compare the two. Like, I mean, you could compare the two by age, but it's something about the way George. I mean, I think George Kittle trains differently. You know, I think he's more in tune. Just watching the evolution of him from 2017 to what year are we in? 2025. I mean, that's an evolution. Like you see, what's the movie Captain America before he became the Captain America, like Steve Rogers, the scrawny dude. That's how George Kittle looked. And then look at him now. Now he's this, you know, not super buff, but he's bigger, more mass, stronger, quicker, fast. Like he's just, it's just amazing watching the evolution of George Kittle. As long as his body doesn't, you know, Father Time doesn't catch up with him, I don't see why he doesn't live out this contract and go down as one of the greatest 49ers of all time. It's well worth, it's well deserved for him, man. I mean, getting drafted in 2017, nosebleed combine. I mean, so many stories. And when you get a tight end that just loves the pancake, what more can you ask for?
I think last year was by far one of his best years. And so I just hope that it stays that. Got robbed of first team all pro. That was an absolute disaster, but that's okay. We are thankful to have Kittle and excited to just, man, keep him around. Now, Oscar asked this question, and I like this topic. He says, can we predict captains here? Yeah. He says Kittle, Demo, Warner, Purdy. I like those four. Is there anybody else you would add?
I think Bosa will be a captain. Trent Bosa? Williams will be a captain again.
That's six. You could have up to seven.
Yeah, just max out. Like, who are we
CMC?
Missing? I think it's time for Christian McCaffrey to deserve the captainship. Yeah.
He got it last year, right?
Nah, he didn't play. I don't think he got it.
I think that they got it. Did he get it, though?
No, because they didn't give it to Trent Williams neither, right? I thought those guys that didn't show up to camp didn't get the captain. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Can't remember. Let me look it up.
All right. Let's talk draft superlatives. We do this every year. And so I came up with about 8 to 9 categories. And we're going to go through, and we're going to kind of go through the 49ers draft class.
So they both did get it last year, by the way.
They both did get it. Yeah, because Kyle Juszczyk too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. What about Juwan Jennings? Does he deserve it? 4, 5, 6, 7. Dude,
wait,
it's
let me
hard,
just count.
Man.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9? Right, maybe I can't count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We had 8 captains last year.
I guess maybe 9 was the limit. I feel like this episode's brought to you by Sesame Street with the count.
Electric company. Does Jennings deserve it? I don't know. I feel like he deserves it.
I'd give him my vote over a couple
for sure.
of those other guys.
I think he deserves it. I think he's more out there looking to get either a contract extension or really clips that 1,000. That's really important, I think, for him in his career, like to be able to clip that 1,000 mark. But Jennings, team first guy, too. And, you know, we'll talk about some of these wide receivers that we drafted. It's going to be fun. It's good. I think this year is going to be a lot more fun. As long as we're healthy, we're good.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oscar asks a very detailed question on the salary and contract structure. We know it's a $35 million signing bonus that's stretched out over 5 years. I'm going to wait till the details come out. I don't want to, you know, too much conjecture until we see the details. They're not all out yet on the cap hits, void years, you know, like There's guarantees and there's total guarantees. So we got to wait and see. I'm going to wait until those details come out. And then when they do, we'll dive into that. Now,
live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Here's what I want to do now, Wayne. I went through and answered all these questions. I sent the questions over to you, and I just want to spend some time talking 49ers draft picks and kind of how they fit with each one of these. So right off the bat, easy peasy, who was your favorite pick for whatever reason? Niners picked 11. Who was your favorite pick that the 49ers made day one, day two, or day three?
Oh, man, it comes down between two players. So I got to pick one of the two. Okay. I really love the Upton Stout pick.
Ooh. You were big on him, man.
Yeah,
A-plus
from the
there,
Senior
buddy.
Bowl, remember? I really liked that pick. And then they drafted CJ West right after. And then I was like, fuck yes. Like, yes.
Fourth round was your round.
I think I'm going to go CJ West in round four. I think that's my favorite pick. Just because they get a high motor, quick first step, pressured, freaking ears peeled back dog. You know, like, there's something about the mentality that I would like to see. Remember we talk about this team being soft? Not getting that vibe anymore. Sorry.
Soft. They didn't draft any soft defensive players.
They didn't draft any soft players, period.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think
Curtis Rourke is soft.
No.
If you could play on an ACL tier for a whole full season, you've bypassed soft to me. So I think they drafted a team full of dogs, but instead it's CJ West for me, bro. He's going to pick, and he's not a pass rushing defensive tackle, but I think the way that this line is going to be built this year, I wouldn't be surprised if he has high volume of sacks because of his ability and that quick first step off the ball to just get to the backfield. He lives in the backfield.
Freaking love it, man. And you want to know what's crazy about CJ West? A lot of people don't know this. He has a better havoc rate.
Yes.
than Walter Nolan did. I know people like, I
thought Nolan was more of a consistent disruptor, but if you're talking about creating havoc, I know what you mean. This is this guy. Like, the motor is higher too. The motor's nonstop. So last year I was high on Braden Fisk. This is the Braden Fisk guy. The motor.
Yeah. Yeah. Elite motor. I'm excited about that. And I see my man Invader in the chat. Hey, you won our predict the pick contest. You missed the show the other day. You need to email me, Invader, because you got the most picks right. We had a 9-way tie with two correct answers.
Yeah, it was tough, man.
It was
predicting
hard.
The pick was tough.
He got his answers in first, so he wins. So email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com, Invader. I'm going to send you some stuff. Just say thank you for knowing the 49ers and be there. My favorite pick was also CJ West. I went Alfred Collins second. I'm a big Alfred Collins guy, but CJ West was, I went through and answered these. So if we have the same answers,
that's crazy.
Okay. That's okay.
Well, I like the Alfred Collins pick because I like that they got tall, big, and then they got wide, big, you know what I mean? So now they're just big. So it's 600 pounds of torque force in the middle of the defensive line that can win in pressures, right? And so, like, we're talking about guys that live in the backfield. So you got those two guys. I mean, those two defensive tackles. We knew we were going to double up on the tackles. I thought we would double up on edge, but we knew we were going to double up on the interior, and they did just that, and I'm excited.
My favorite, like, means nothing, like, trivia question is that
Alfred Collins has a longer wingspan than LeBron James.
Bro, that junk is 82 and I think 3/4 inches.
It's insane, man.
And then you drafted Mikal Williams. No, his is actually longer than Mikal Williams. My bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mikal is the 82 3/4 inches. Jesus Christ.
Commodores, man. Yes. Just freaking like. I love it. All right. Let's go to the flip side. I don't like to do too many negatives, but we did favorite. Who was your least favorite pick where you're just like, not that you're out on this player, but just like of the 11, this is probably the one that maybe shocked you the most and just like, yeah, that one's, it's going to be tough to get behind.
I think it was the last pick, right? Because I felt like Junior Bergen, we already drafted a wide receiver. I wasn't scratching my head over the Jordan Watkins pick because that was a top 30 visit guy. And so I'm like, oh, we're not going to double up at wide receiver. You know what I mean? And then we did. And then there were tons of wide receivers left available that I thought we knew about. Like, you know what I mean? You don't really know about this kid. So you have to really do your homework. So that one, I know it's a 7th round pick, but I felt like we could have, there were tons of offensive linemen still available. There were tons of, you could have went edge again. Like, there was just so many positions you could have got depth at opposed to just the wide receiving position. And I feel like we got several wide receivers on here. But, again, when you do your homework on him, you realize he isn't really drafted to be a wide receiver. He's drafted to return. So we'll see what happens if he wins that job or whatnot. But I think that 7th round pick, I'm like, yo, we could have really, like, could have doubled up on the line. We could have doubled up, you know what I'm saying, in the secondary with a corner. We could have doubled up at a linebacker. Could have drafted another linebacker. I don't know. It was just a weird pick.
Yeah, and especially with Jordan Watkins being that small speed wide receiver. You have Jacob Cowling, small speed wide receiver. Then you go get, you know, another small speed wide, like, you were just building up on these tiny speed slot guys. Yeah. Which, yeah, yeah.
Mine was Jordan Watkins. That job. Yeah. Oh, Jordan Watkins. I get it.
By far. He wasn't even in my three. I did 343 players. He wasn't in there. Then when I saw the 30 median, and you're like, you know what? I'm done. I don't care. I knew who he was. Because I did so much tape for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I knew who he was.
You watched Juice Wells and you watched Trey Harrison, so then you had no choice but to watch this guy winning over the middle of the field, right?
And I remember going like, dude, Niners met with them. I should add them, but it was after we already released the draft book, and I was so tired, and I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to throw my hands up. I graded like 45 wide receivers.
Yeah.
He wasn't one of them. Doesn't mean I'm out on him, but by far where they took him, yeah,
I mean, we'll do another show where we feel like these guys or how these guys are going to be utilized, but we're just talking about based off of value guys in the draft. Like, I was surprised, like John was surprised. We both, it's funny how we were both surprised of the wide receiving picks. Like, I didn't know who Junior Bergen was. So, yeah, you could tell me he's a kick returner, but I had to learn that. And so I'm not a 49er scout, right? but at the end of the day, like, I get why there were so many wide receivers that if you were going to add a receiver, like, why was Watkins the one? There were plenty of slot guys you could have got. You're going to get a slot guy.
My biggest issue was whenever Shanahan was talking about why Watkins, he goes, I really liked his gauntlet drill. I liked his 40-yard time.
Yes, he said
and
that.
I liked his routes on air. And yeah. I was just like, bro, like, that's not why you like wide receivers.
Bro, that's like, why he liked it. Like, but that, no, you do like him. Okay, so let's dig into that real quick, because today's wide receivers are literally, and he had, I think, the best gauntlet time, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what Shanahan said.
No, I'm saying you got to go back and watch it, bro. Like, that cat moved at, what, 20-something miles per hour. We got to look it up. Now, the last wide receiver that we drafted that had a top gauntlet time is no longer on this roster. I will not say his name. But I believe this kid has much better hands. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But that Kyle is big on the gauntlet. It's all about how fast can you stay at your top speed running down that line. That's the gauntlet. And so Kyle's big on that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's a bad
pick. Puka Nacua is killing the league because of that gauntlet time. I'm not going to say the name of the 49 wide receiver that they drafted a couple
Thank
years back.
Thank you for not doing that. But, like, here's my thing is, like, and again, track record matters. And I think Kyle Shanahan with wide receivers, it is the most boom or bust process in the world.
You know why?
So many major misses, but you also have the hits.
But do you know why?
Because he played it and he...
No, it's because he does these receivers. He already told Jordan Watkins it'll be more than likely you won't see the field this year. So these receivers can't even really crack the code and get the reps and build the continuity and build the chemistry. You know, it's like, oh, man, you got to go in and make the catch. So, like, yeah, you expect them to make a catch. They're wide receivers. But Kyle Shanahan has the most complicated offensive scheme in the history of probably the NFL. It's so much going on, especially for the wide receivers. It's not just, oh, it's your time to block. It's where you're going to be used. Are you the X? Are you the Y? Are you the Z? Are you running in motion? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? It's so much of that playbook they got to learn. I think that's why it's hit or miss, and that's why they keep drafting. They're looking for those guys that may come in already up here with a good mindset and understanding the jargon of the language of Kyle Shanahan somewhat, and make that transition. It's really hard, I think, to make a transition as a wide receiver. Even Brandon Ayuk struggled. So at the end of the day, we know it's tough, right? It's not just, we're talking wide receivers. We're not talking playmakers, throw the ball to them and then let them do whatever they do. That was Deebo Samuel. He's no longer here. We no longer have that type of a player. Now we got wide receivers, guys that can run routes. And Jordan Watkins is a phenomenal route runner. I don't know if we talk about that, but he on film, he's running crisp routes. And, man, he finds those holes in the zone so beautifully. But, again, at that pick, I was scratching my head too. So you're not the only one.
So, all right, well, let's play this out. Like Shanahan said, probably not going to play very much this year. Who wins that small? Does Jacob? Because somebody's got to play. You've got Ayuk out. You've got DeMarcus Robinson going to be suspended.
He's comp for the Ayuk, right? 5'11", same height, faster.
Faster. Right?
Yeah, so he's faster than Ayuk. I think he fills that role. I think the key is if he can be the X guy, you can make the mismatches with Juwan Jennings more. Juwan Jennings belongs in the slot. I love him as an X, but he belongs in the slot. Why?
Week one. Yeah. Who's the X? It's gonna be Juwan Jennings.
It's gotta be Juwan Jennings week one because it's the beginning of the season and he knows the routes. But I think you make that transition when you start to see these guys really step up in practice. The question is who's gonna be the X after Juwan Jennings? Because you want to be able to move Jennings into that slot position, right? You want to move him to the Y so that way he can take advantage of the mismatches all day and night. So that's what Kyle wants. The question is who's gonna step up to take that X spot? Is it going to be Ricky Pearsall? Is it going to be Jacob Cowan? Is it going to be we got three receivers, 4-4-1 Ricky Pearsall, 4-3-8 Jacob Cowan, 4-3-7 my man that we just drafted, Jordan Watkins.
That's what about Marcus Robinson? I could see him doing that role. He did it for McVay. Like he was taking the outside snaps and Puka and
I think he'll be an upgrade over Chris Conley, right? For sure, right? Yeah. Like I think that's what you get. The question is, how long is he going to be suspended and when is he coming back?
Gosh. So like, okay, how about this? Week one through three, he's suspended. Ayuk's not there. You keep Juwan Jennings at X.
Yes.
Then DeMarcus Robinson comes back, and now you're doing a hybrid. Juwan Jennings X rotating with DeMarcus Robinson and Juwan Jennings slot.
Correct.
Meanwhile, Pearsall's just chilling in the Z flanker role.
That's fine.
Then when Ayuk comes back, Ayuk is X. Pearsall stays where he's been the whole time, and now you move Juwan Jennings
goes to the slot. There you go.
I've been able to make sense of this situation. Thank you, Wayne.
But the key is you have depth. So God forbid. I'm just going to leave it at that. And then the guys, by then, hopefully they're able to fulfill certain roles. That's what you hope, you know? It's going to be tough to make this team as a wide receiver. We got like 50 wide receivers.
But we drafted two, and we brought in one more undrafted free agent.
Exactly.
And the guy that I like the most is an undrafted free agent. I would take him over the other two straight up. Like, I'm sorry.
Isaiah Nair is nice.
I'd take Isaiah Nair straight up.
He didn't have the production. He didn't have the production as Jordan Watkins, but man, he has the size. I think that's your Juwan Jennings, though. Remember, I wanted Nick Nash,
Yeah.
Nick Nash is 6'4". He went undrafted? Wow.
Undrafted free agent Nick Nash. I thought that was like, I was the whole time I was like, man.
So I look, there's a possibility that this is the last year of Juwan Jennings, and you are in plan to have his replacement with Isaiah Neyor. The key to the issue is these undrafted guys, John, how many literally are going to make this squad? It's going to be tough. And the moment you let them go, they're getting picked up. They're signed to a different team.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll get some back. I mean, like, oh, okay, real quick, just run through these. Like, right, running back, one. Corey Kinner, right? Hopefully. Undrafted free agent.
Is it Kiner or Kinner?
I'm not sure.
So, me neither.
I'm from Texas. I'm going with whatever you say over me every time. Corey Kiner.
One in.
yeah, dude, I don't know.
Diner,
I don't know. But, like, okay, running back is now stacked. Like,
stacked.
Isaiah
Neyor. Five. It's five guys there, stacked.
Yeah, Drew Moss, another guard, 6'3", 303. We have so many guards. All we do is have guards. Have no tackles. We have no centers. We got all the guards.
All the guards.
Sebastian Valdez, Washington guy, defensive tackle. Like, all right, linebacker, man, there's a bunch there. Stan Blanton, I like him. Cornerback, Jacob Robinson, another slot-only type guy that might be able to play on the outside. But, like, why? We're, like, double, triple, quadrupling down on these specific roles.
Yeah.
And leaving other spots with no depth, just leaving those with no depth. Outside corner, we ain't got the players. Like, you need more outside corners. Yeah, you got your starters, and I love that. But, like, you're one injury away from Darrell Luter Jr. being a starting outside corner. Like, that scares the
and
crap
that's fair.
Out of me.
That's fair, but you also have to have somewhat of a bit of a faith in the development of these players, you know? I still think Darrell is an outside guy. And I think if you utilize him as an outside guy, he will prove in year three that he's an outside guy, which is what we've been saying since year one. He was drafted as an outside guy. They tried to force him to move him around, put him on special teams, made mistakes, doesn't get the reps, dealing with injuries. I still believe he's an outside guy. When he's an outside guy, good luck throwing on him. He's a tight coverage guy. Was that coming out of South Alabama? I think that's where he came from. He's a tight coverage guy. He plays really well on the outside. Bit handsy. Sometimes will draw penalties, but we'll see what happens. My point is that it's deep this year, and it's going to be competition. And there's speed out there. And these young boys coming into town, they looking to make a squad. So I love the hunger. I love the drive. I love everything that's going on. Only a couple of locks I feel like that are in that cornerback room is Demo and freaking Renardo Green, and I still want to see Renardo Green get better. I thought he struggled a lot toward the end of the year.
Can he stay healthy? That's my biggest thing. Like,
there you go.
He didn't finish a lot of games.
There you go.
And so, like, then you got Trey Brown, who missed 39 games in 4 years.
That you just signed in free agency. So now that's another injured player, right, that you're hoping can stay healthy. Listen, this is going to be fun. Who I think we have penciled in as the slot guy, right? Trey Brown? Or cornerback three, I mean, sorry.
Yeah, cornerback three. I think he stays outside. He can't change.
Yeah, cornerback three is what I meant. My bad.
But yeah. We'll see. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, all right, let's get back to the draft superlatives. Who do you think gets the most offensive snaps? Now, the offense was loaded and didn't really need much, and you didn't even draft an offensive guy until round four, Jordan Watkins. But out of Jordan Watkins, Jordan James, Curtis Rourke, Connor Colby Jr., Bergen, who do you think gets the most offensive snaps this year?
The offensive line always stays banged up. So I feel like Connor Colby will end up getting the most offensive snaps.
Ooh.
I can't wait to break that guy down. Like, I don't know how he went in the seventh round. Other than
huge
guys.
Value.
I said that. I think people thought I was crazy. I'm like, this kid has a third round grade. Like, the Niners. That's my steal, by the way. So if you want to know who my steal of the draft is, it's Connor Colby, if you're going to ask me that.
I
can't
am,
help it. Because,
but we're not going to talk about that right now, Wayne.
Okay, my bad.
I had a fourth round grade on him, but still, that is a huge.
Still a steal. Value's crazy.
Steal.
You got steal. A versatile offensive lineman that fits your scheme to a T. To the T. That's all they did, run outside zone in Iowa. That's it. They had a good blocking tight end in Luke Lachey, and that's all they did was run outside zone. Hey, we got a great blocking tight end named George Kittle, and guess what we're going to run? Outside zone.
Outside zone, baby. Outside zone. Outside. Now, I went with the dark horse on most offensive snaps. I went Jordan James.
I like that, though.
I went Jordan James just because I didn't think the other ones would be able to crack the lineup near as much. I think he'd get involved in rotation.
Let me tell you. I like Jordan James. Other running backs were available, though. And I was a little, like, leery. I knew, though, when they went to freaking – if you go back to when I said that the Niners were visiting the Oregon State's Pro Day, Jordan James, I believe, was at the top of my list. I just had a funny freaking inkling feeling that they were there for him. Not Jeffrey Bosa, not the other guys, not Derek Harmon. It was Jordan James. Why? Because he has the body type of a Bobby Turner's running back. You don't know who my comp is for Jordan James? Devontae Freeman. I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, yeah, for the Falcons, man. He was awesome. Was
Bobby Turner guy, right? Kyle Shanahan guy, right? Jordan
Short,
James.
Short, squatty, yes. And just like, man, just
hard to
balance
bring down.
On balance.
Contact balance is phenomenal. I just feel like if Christian McCaffrey is healthy, John, ain't no other running back seen in the football field.
And I hope that's the case. I really do.
That's why I said that it's going to be hard for him to crack, get too many snaps. But hopefully, I think he beats out Patrick Taylor. I think he could beat out. The only thing you got to work on with him is his pass blocking. That's it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. Most defensive snaps. Now, this one's hard because we have so many top tier.
Oh, man, it's got to be.
Dale Williams.
It's got to be Williams. I'm going
Williams. You're going Williams.
I don't think he's going to be a rotative piece. I think that's your starter. And I think he could play all three downs. And I think his versatility is you can move him inside. John, the kid is about to be – he's not even 21 yet. That kid is healthy, and I think he's going to get the most snaps from a defensive player. Yeah, I do. He's not going to be rotative. I think the tackles can be rotative because you want to keep those guys fresh. But I think Mykal Williams and Nick Bosa are your bookends.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Big Toad says, Nayer.
Nayer.
Appreciate the super chat. Most offensive snaps, I think, is what he was talking about. But, yeah, Isaiah Nayer, he is the undrafted free agent wide receiver, 6'4", 218 out of Nebraska. Big, tall, fast. Man, it might be in that Chris Connerly role eventually. We'll see. But, yeah, he's just a fun player. All right, here we go. Who is the biggest – I think we put this one here. Biggest reach. Who was the biggest pick that was just you dislike, but just
it was Nick Martin
where you ranked
me,
him?
Bro.
Nick Martin.
Yeah, I had a seventh round grade on him, based off of his 2024, season. I mean, didn't have play much, right, due to the injury, and so getting a guy that you're high valued in. So this is where it kind of didn't make sense to me. So you passed up on. Player, and this is no disrespect to your defensive tackle that we drafted, but you passed up on a lockdown premier corner in round two that went to your op.
Who are you referencing there?
I'm referencing
Will Johnson.
Will Johnson.
Oh, okay. So I don't think the Niners had him on the board.
That's fine, but I'm just saying you passed up on a lockdown corner that you drafted a corner anyway in round three. You could have got a better corner in round two and still worked out the nickel spot. You drafted Marquise Siegel. He could play it in the slot. So you really got two slot corners. Marquise Siegel played more slot snaps than he did safety in 2024. The numbers don't lie. So you really went with two nickelbacks in this particular draft. And I'm just like, why did you do that when you could have got a defensive tackle? I believe Alfred Collins might have been there in round three. But then you reached for Nick Martin. And it's just like you could have used the 75th pick on that defensive tackle and probably got Nick Martin a lot later in this draft. I don't think anybody had him high on their board because of the injury, because of the lack of play. Now, I know the Niners had several meetings with him, and I do like the pick. I just think it was a reach of a pick.
Yeah, I agree with you on the reach big time, and I like this comment from Logan's. Biggest reach, Nick Martin, but I trust Robert Saleh with linebackers. We always do this as fans, and I remember watching the 2005 draft, and I really wanted Aaron Rodgers, and we took Alex Smith, and I was really mad for like five picks, and then I go watch some Alex Smith highlights, and I start talking myself into it. I do a little bit of that double think and why it was the right decision. It was the wrong decision. But does the Robert Saleh track you know, record at linebackers that he selected, does that give you a little bit more comfort that, man, he picked Greenlaw, Azeez, Fred Warner, Jamion Sherwood? Like, this dude has nailed the linebacker position. Does that make it a little bit more acceptable?
It does, but
no?
we're talking about value here, right? My right. point is, you could have got him later. At the end of the day, I don't think he was high on anybody's board because he kind of was really flying under the radar. I felt like the Niners set that up perfectly. They met with him at the Senior Bowl. You didn't hear anything about it. They met with him at the NFL Combine. You heard little things about it. No one was really talking to the kid from Oklahoma State. So I feel like the Niners could have addressed something different at that pick and still came back around in round four, round five, round six, round seven to get Nick Martin, which would end up being the steal of the draft. And he still can be the steal of the draft. It's just that I still think it was just the biggest reach. Yes, I do trust Robert Saleh and Johnny Holland as they get their guys and the linebackers. I do trust it. I think Nick Martin's going to be phenomenal. You got a kid that can run, if we ran a 4.53 in the sideline speed is crazy. Saleh really literally just drafted players he used to have. This is yep. Dre Greenlaw.
Yep. It is, man. But it was a big reach to me, too. I didn't have – I feel better about that than the Upton Stout pick. Like, I thought Upton Stout was a bigger reach, but I love the fact that you love him, and now I'm excited. Like, I'm like, all right, I can't wait to go back and watch some more. Like, Wayne put the work in. I want to know. And I know the 49ers put the work in, too, and we're just talking, spitballing, just trying to understand, you know, consensus versus whatever. And the 49ers have their own board. They have the most unique board. And the word reach has such a negative connotation to it. We're just talking about the 49ers getting their type of guys.
For sure.
Against consensus.
For sure.
And what that looks like.
My man Logan says, remember when I was happy when I drafted Ambry Thomas? I don't trust Wayne when it comes to corners. So the Ambry Thomas thing, yep, I was happy when we drafted Ambry and we didn't use him right. I don't care what anybody says. He's a press man guy and we don't play press man. Why did they draft him? And they didn't understand it. They drafted him.
He was too soft for me. I didn't feel like he ever was a fit.
Yeah, but the funny thing is he played better when he played press, jammed up onto the wide receiver, but we didn't play that style of defense for the 49ers. So to me, they messed up that pick.
He going to the Colts, though. Any with the Colts now? All of them.
I don't know where he is, honestly. I don't really care. But my point.
Emil Womack, all of them are there.
Womack is there for sure. And we used Womack wrong. And I liked him, too. Are you mad at me for that? I was happy when we got him in the fifth round.
The player I was most happy we drafted was Dante Pettis.
Oh, my gosh.
Him and Trey Lance. So, I like,
oh, my gosh. I was happy with the Womack pick, and then I kept saying what, John? Why are you putting him inside? This kid is a natural ball hawk on the outside, and every time he was on the outside, he made plays. Hold on for 1 second.
I will say this. Like, we fall in love with players and we get hyped and you should. And yeah, sometimes they're wrong. Like the 49ers are wrong on players. Like every single team is wrong on players.
Oh, I'm wrong on a lot of players. I just know that I really felt like when it came to Ambry, he played off the ball. He played like 10 yards. I was like, what? And he didn't have the closeout speed to I don't know what they I just felt like they were using him wrong. And then he couldn't stay healthy. He was just a terrible pick. Just a terrible pick.
So let's go positive. You already alluded to this. Who was your biggest steal of the entire draft?
Ooh, biggest steal. I think it was Connor Colby, dog. Like, you got, I feel like you got a third round, fourth round grade guard that can probably, if on the right team, he might have been starting week one. He doesn't have to start week one for the Niners, but that doesn't mean he doesn't come out and compete for that position. And I'm sorry, they addressed the guard position with Aaron Banks being gone. They got the veteran in Ben Bartsch here. They got Spencer Burford that's probably going to compete. I think he plays better on the left side, but don't sleep on Connor Colby.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, we didn't know anything about Dominic Pooney last year. We wasn't really on him, and the Niners have a type, and I'm starting to think this is their type. I wanted Tate Ratledge, but he went way early.
He went early. He was second round, man.
Yeah.
He went second round. My favorite steal, Connor Colby was two. Curtis Rourke. I love
really
that pick. I love that pick, man. I'm adamant on drafting quarterbacks every single year with late round picks.
For sure.
Now, the medical, like if he was healthy and his ACL was intact, I'd have a fourth round grade on him.
Okay.
6'4", 220. He can make every throw in the pocket. Now, he doesn't get through his progressions. That's the one issue where it's like can't fit. But here's what I love most about it. He's not going to count against the roster this year.
That, is it like because he'll go what's the
he'll
word?
Be on the NFI.
NFI. I guess that's why I asked. That's why I was asking. Yeah, yeah.
And so you spent a seventh round pick on a quarterback. He's your NFI.
But why?
And now he just gets to learn for a year, and you still get him 4 years after that. And like him and Tanner Mordecai now are competing for your quarterback two spot the following. Like, I just, man, maybe he's great, maybe he's not, but it costs you nothing.
Oh, can I tell you why I love him? He's 6'5" and built like a fucking tank.
Yeah, he's
he can see over offensive line. Okay. All right. He's got a little mobility, not a lot, but he can move. I bet you on a better ACL, he'll move fine. But man,
the operation, like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the thing that people don't know about Curtis' work that I really love: his processing and his ability to scan the football field and make the right play. And he stands in the pocket until that right play is there. Like literally, doesn't take a lot of sacks and definitely doesn't turn the ball over. 5 interceptions last year. Like that's it. Like, he's always looking to make the safe play. So that means you got a check down guy. So, oh my gosh, he'll hit the check down. It's a safe play. But he's looking, I think he has a strong enough arm to get the ball down the football field if need be. And I'm not saying he's the future starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
I don't believe that at all.
But damn, you got a really good, solid backup that's not going to cost you a pretty penny. And you'll get a comp pick back from Mac Jones next year. And then this guy slides right up and you just got your backup to Brock Purdy. Ha ha.
I would love that.
Niners
like, that's
win.
Ideal. That's but if ideal. Not, it's a seventh round pick. What was he? 220?
227.
Like, yeah. Whoop-de-doo. Shanahan could have got 4 wide receivers. Like you know what I mean? Like,
I guess, do you feel like, my question to you is, and I know why they said they went with him, because they felt like he wasn't going to be there. But come on, John. No one was looking at this guy. This is what I mean.
But they went. All the quarterbacks started going in the seventh round. Like, they took him over
all
Quinn
the quarterbacks. You mean all the quarterbacks they wanted. I got you. Not all the quarterbacks. Did Brady Cook get drafted? Just curious.
I don't think so.
Did Seth Hennigan get drafted? I'm just curious.
I don't think so.
Right. So all the quarterbacks that were on their board were gone. So I got you.
But he has upside. Like, I didn't want Quinn Ewers. Like, I was hoping that
Quinn
he
Ewers.
Would go with Seth Hittigan or Max
Isn't
Perlman.
That your guy?
I hate Quinn Ewers.
Oh, my gosh. John hates it.
That's no.
No.
Him, Cameron Williams, Isaiah Bond, not my guys, man. Not
got
my
you.
Guys.
Wait, you didn't like Cameron Williams neither?
No.
Damn.
Most penalties in the NFL? No.
Absolutely.
He was at the school I coached at, like, at my high school. Like, I like him. It's just I struggle with players that have very low player IQ. His ceiling is awesome. The Eagles are going to turn him into a freak. But, like, no. Like, no, there's Longhorn players that I'm just, like, new. Those were 3 guys I wanted nothing to do with.
I'll tell you
now, what. I don't think Quinn Ewers should have fell to the 7th round. But, like, I mean, he fell way.
Yeah, he did. Ah. Hey, man, look, it's the draft, man. It's the teams. Teams get players that fit. And this is different for the Niners. I've never seen them draft a quarterback this big, Pauls.
Yeah, he's huge. I mean, he's Trey Lance size, you know what I mean? A little bit smaller.
He's a little bit taller than Trey Lance, I think.
Wish I was a little bit
taller.
Right, here we go. I love it, man. Craig, appreciate the super chat. People ripped me for wanting to trade 11 to the Bears for 39-41. Look at the board and pick your favorites when trading with the Bills. Man, I loved the trade back situation. The Niners weren't going to do it. I wish that they would have, but you know, if I'm pulling it up now, well, if we
so
had
so many players fell in
39, you could have got TJ Sanders and probably JT Tumalau. You know, again, and then you also would have Alfred Collins. I'd keep that, but like, yeah, there were guys there. But man, the 49ers tried to trade up, Craig.
They're trying to trade up to 8.
Yeah, they wanted it. They are sold on who they got.
And I'm not mad at that. But it has to pan out. And I just look at Mykal Williams, man. He looks like he definitely has the body type. He has the physical attributes and the ability. He has the ability to get to the quarterback. I just think he just needs some polishing up on his moves. He needs to learn some moves. I think learning from a guy like a Nick Bosa is going to help him out. I think Chris Kocurek will get him right mentally. And I think he's going to be that first round next best defensive end that the 49ers have drafted since Nick Bosa. I really do. He's coming from a pedigree that produces in the NFL. Them Georgia Bulldog defensive players, they literally produce if they go to the right team. I think Mykal Williams is already coming in with the tools. Now it's all about sharpening in the tools and getting them right. So I think it's going to be fine. Fine pick.
Oh, I like it. All right, here we go. Who's going to be the fan favorite after this year? Jump into your DeLorean, go to the future. They did that number three.
Things going to be Nick Martin. Once you see him on the football field, it's going to be Nick Martin. That's why I said it was a reach. I don't feel like I'm wrong for saying it was a reach, John. Like, there was several linebackers that you could have drafted that were better than him, but that doesn't mean they will be better on this team. And I think at the end of this season, did you ask me for an offensive player or just any player?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Nick Martin. Nick Martin's going to be the guy, for sure. That cat going to lead the team in tackles. Sorry, Fred. Hey, Fred, you're still going to be all pro, but now you're going to be all pro by doing less. Oh, work harder, not smarter. That's how I look at it.
Right. Whenever you had Dre Greenlaw, you just let Dre Greenlaw take care of the screens and the outside runs, and Warner was coverage. Best coverage linebacker in the history of the NFL. Like, let him do his thing. Like, the tackles, yeah, they're always good, but, like, that's not – he's a good tackler. I'm not saying he's a bad tackler, but, like, the best coverage linebacker of all time. Like, let that –
You talking about Fred Warner? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Great tackler, too. It's when he overcompensates. Well, he has to overcompensate, and that's when missed tackles happen. Defensive line is trash. This defense, I can tell you right now, John, this defensive line this year will not be trash.
No. I agree with you. At least against the run. You might not get the sacks and quarterback hits that everybody wants.
This defense will not be trash, period. Not up front.
So much better. Not with Robert Saleh back.
Not with Robert Saleh back. I mean, that right there just dropped the anvil, the Acme anvil on everything right there. The hammer. Drop it. Boom. Saleh back makes everything else working well, in my opinion.
Right. My fan favorite prediction, Marquise Siegel. I think that he's going to win that starting
job. I love that
job.
Pick, man.
And, you know, while Malik Mustafa is out, yep, I think Siegel steps in, and then it's going to be Jair Brown versus Siegel. Mm-hmm. For that spot, and I'm sold on Siegel, man. I like that.
I love the kid. The kid's versatility, John, screams through the roof. His ability to play out, like I said, he can play the nickel. He can play in the slot if you need be. I think we'll see some of those type of packages out, because I think teams are going to come out a lot of three wide receiver sets, even some four wide receiver sets. Niners could go into that dime package. I don't know if you remember back in the day when Robert Saleh, I can't remember what draft, it was 2017, 2018, he drafted Tarvarius Moore to play the dime backer. I think that's who Marquise Siegel is going to be. But right now, I think he'll have an opportunity to definitely compete for a starting spot with the injury due to Malik Mustafa. So this is going to be fun to watch. And don't forget, we also signed two safety free agents, Richie Grant and Pinnock.
Richie Grant is who I think gets those first snaps at that spot in training camp. But we'll kind of see how it goes. Now, okay, let's go with this. Who's the first to start? Who's starting week one? And it could be multiple guys of this draft class. Who are your starters week one?
All right, so Mykal Williams is starting. Alfred Collins is starting. I think if Nicholas Martin is healthy, that cat is starting.
I think he's healthy.
Sorry, D winners. No disrespect. I think those are your starters. I think Marcus Siegel has the opportunity to start, depending on, you know what I'm saying, like the injury. Yes. And I think Connor Colby's going to win that starting job.
Gosh, that would be so badass to have those two guards, Connor Colby.
And Dominic Pooney. Can you imagine? Because Ben Bartsch is coming off an injury, and you're really rolling with Spencer Burford. But I think Ben Bartsch is going to be this year's version of, what's the guy from last year? Feliciano.
Man, I really want to see if they're going to put Spencer Burford to just keep him at tackle. I think you kind of have to now. Or if they're going to move him back and forth between.
Yeah, like make him the swing.
Just keep him at swing. That's what I want him to do.
Swing!
Swing! Wayne's World, party time.
Wayne's World.
Now, okay, last one. Who's the most likely to get, not the first, not the second, but that third contract that we just saw George Kittle get? Is there a lifelong Niner in this draft? This one's hard. Most drafts, you don't get third contract players.
Yeah, because Kittle, this is his what?
His third.
So rookie, first extension, second extension?
Right.
He's the first. Kittle was a fifth round pick. Wow. I don't know, man. Kyle runs through running backs like he changes his draws. That ain't gonna be Jordan James.
Nope.
Safeties don't really stay here. Like they don't in a position that they covet. I don't get it.
They don't pay it.
Defensive tackle, we will move on from them motherfuckers like it's nothing.
Okay. And they're older, but they're both older too.
I mean, I didn't think DeForest Buckner was old, but they decided to move on from him anyway. I don't think there's any in this draft, John. Hmm. Maybe Connor Colby?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, we don't pay guards, but like.
No, we don't play. We don't pay guards. Aaron Banks was ass, so I wasn't paying him anyway.
No. I'm happy he got all that money, though.
Oh, for sure. Congratulations for being ass and getting a lot of money. But I never thought he fit the system.
That sounds like the 49ers Rush podcast slogan. That's what we're going for here. we are the Aaron Banks of, you know, the podcast world. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Now, the one I said, I gave two possibilities. And I went Mikael Williams because he's 20. So, like, you know, if he plays that solid role but doesn't get to, like, whatever, like, I could see that happening because he's got time. I know it is.
I mean, are you not paying? Like, the question is, do you want Nick Bosa here? I don't know. That's tough. I think he makes the second contract, but I don't think he gets the three.
And then my dark horse was our last pick,
Junior Bergen,
just as a return specialist, kind of a Ray Ray McCloud
burger endorsement, like something.
That is smart. That's smart. Come on, man, make that money. Whataburger, best fast food place in the world. Go check them out. I'm just joking. I just pissed off every single person in California.
Whoa, bro. You just lost mad subscribers.
Dude, I can't, man. I was raised, dude. I was raised.
Trent Williams said Whataburger was better than In-N-Out.
Yeah, Texas people do. It's different, but like it's different. If you like healthy fast food, In-N-Out is the place.
Oh, In-N-Out is healthy?
Compared to Whataburger, it is. Whataburger ain't healthy at all, man. And it's open 24/7.
Oh, like, that's my favorite kind of place, bro. I eat that shit over McDonald's any day.
Oh, dude, yeah, man. Whew. Now, I know a lot of the people listen to this never been to a Whataburger establishment. That's okay. In-N-Out's awesome. I ain't trying to throw shade on In-N-Out.
In-N-Out is overrated. I'll throw shade. That shit is overrated. I prefer McDonald's fries, even though McDonald's fries aren't real.
Dude, I like how we went from draft superlatives to fast food.
It's because burger. It's the Bergen.
We blame you, Junior Bergen.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love it, man. Man, wait, this has been fun.
I do like this. I think the Niners, we talk about the Niners when it comes to their drafting and how they need to address. I think everybody wanted the Niners to go like five offensive linemen. I kept saying that wasn't what. There was no way. We got 16 offensive linemen on this roster. Like, literally.
3 years in a row without drafting a center or offensive tackle.
Bro, Kyle takes a center and just trusts the hell out of him. He trusts his center more than he probably trusts his wife. Like, at that point, like, if he gets a center, he is rocking with that center until the wheels fall off. It would literally take Jake Brenda would have to break his wheels in order for us to go with a different center. That's just not happening. That's the only place I felt like we needed to get better on the offensive line.
And they just said, nope.
John,
nope.
Let's just do this. Jake Brendo, Pro Bowl year. Boom.
Let's do it, man.
He was Pro Bowl alternative that first year we got him. I think he goes back. Now, I think this year he makes it.
There are
Pro
32
Bowl
teams. 32 teams.
Don't do this to me.
There's four Pro Bowlers each side. That's eight. two teams make it to the NFC Championship. That's Tid. And then some of the teams that like don't make it to what, like, come on, man. Like, I'm not making fun of Jake.
I just think I am making fun of him. I just feel like Jake is gonna come out.
Pro Bowl alternate. Didn't Tyrod Taylor? No. Didn't Snoop, whatever his name was, who was the quarterback for Miami? Didn't he make like Pro Bowl quarterback like 2 years ago? Like, dude played six games.
You talk about Huntley? Man. Huntley? Yeah. Hey, man. Look.
Yeah.
I think Jake Brendel gonna come out this year on a different level. I think if he does,
I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right too. And if I'm wrong, you can't give me the smoke because we already know what he is.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, we're talking about like Pro Bowl players. You know that meme of the guy like sitting there drinking the beer and he's like points at me just like, me?
Right? Right? Yeah.
Me?
Great show,
I hope so. There we go. You heard it here first. Wayne Breezy.
Ah, man, that would be cool.
Pro Bowl. I'd be happy for him.
Who do you think, who's going to have a better season, Jake Brendel or Colt McKivitz?
Colt McKivitz.
Okay. This is the last year of his contract, too.
Yeah. I believe in betting on players on contract years. Colt McKivitz hasn't made a lot of money. He took, you know, those two cheap contracts.
For sure. He's a fifth-round pick.
And now you see Jalen Moore getting $15 million a year and Aaron Banks getting $18 million a year. Like, excellent. Dude. Colton
last year here. I think Spencer Burford takes his spot next year. Then he'll be his last year. And then we keep replenishing and not paying these other tackles other than the left. I think that's the only position they pay on the offensive line.
Yeah, we need him to step up. Now, real quick, I forgot to mention this. We have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Go sign up to 49ersrush.com. Wayne, what do you got coming up on your show? What can we check out?
Man, just follow me and then put your notifications on because I'm going to be uploading videos left and right and going live a little bit less because I want to do more creating. So just make sure your notifications are set to on. All right. And it'll be fun.
Oh, the Wayne Breezy. It's where I learned everything. It's where I learned George Kittle got extended.
Oh,
whenever I
John,
woke up,
John, I got something eyes. For you. Hold on.
No, it's not. Dude, I can show you my freaking notifications. I got you, Ian Rappaport, but the algorithm puts your shit first. Because what happens is, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. It's where I learned. I open up Twitter. And then, boom, it was right there. So now I will be honest. Like, you got the Ian thing, but yours is more recent, and it shows you the most recent one.
Got you. You didn't have to tell me that, but that's cool. But at least I know that John has me in his algorithm. I don't know how you did it, but it's cool. Hey, I rock with it.
I retweet your tweets more than anybody's.
I appreciate that, bro. This is fun.
Square. I don't know what that thing is with the arrows. But
me,
like,
neither.
Yeah.
Me neither.
All right, everybody go subscribe to the Wayne Breezy. Hopefully you guys enjoyed today's show. We'll be back next Tuesday. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.